right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. TuneIn app, iHeartRadio app, Stitcher app, sportsbyline.com. I think if you put an antenna in a toaster and lean it out the window unplugged, you can get us as well. It is Tuesday in the first hour. We have a couple segments of SailSportTalk.com as we get out there on the choppy waters. And my co-host, as always, for the first hour Tuesdays, is Karen Lyle, also in her home in the East Bay. Karen, how are you?
I am doing fantastic, thank you. And yourself, Rick, how are you doing?
Not too shabby, thanks for asking. Let's bring in our first guest who was with us when we got this going last year. It is Rome Kirby. He's here to talk about SailSport, or about the U.S. Sail GP team, also about his All-In Challenge and the fact that he's kind of a movie star. First of all, Rome, how cool is it that your first name is Rome?
I don't know how cool that is, but yeah, it's a nickname. It's short. Its real name's Jerome. So I, I'm the fourth, so I didn't have much of a choice.
That's a good idea. I tried that too, but nobody wanted to call me Ick. All right. Let's talk a little bit. First of all, before we get into it, the Hollywood movie Tenet, it is a huge deal. It's a Christopher Nolan vehicle. It was supposed to come out earlier, but of course, the pandemic. How are you involved in Tenet, Rome?
This guy named Neil Andrea actually came and kind of found me last year, and he does all the on the water kind of logistics for Christopher Nolan. He did Dunkirk with him, and long story short, he approached me to get the F-50s in the movie, so we kind of negotiated terms and ended up doing it, shooting the movie in Cowes after our event last August in the UK, and we spent 2 weeks filming over there, and it was pretty cool to be a part of.
Well, you had camera crew. You're used to having cameras on your boat. Did they in the film use some of the equipment that you had on the boat?
No, they had their own IMAX cameras that were pretty big, pretty heavy, and I think there was only 7 of them in the world or something like that. So, a little pressure not to break them.
One more question about that.
They were mounted on the boat.
We always think about.
Oh, they were mounted on the boat, Rome, the IMAX cameras?
Yeah, they had a couple different spots where they had them mounted on the boat, and then obviously there was cameras and camera boats, and then we had a chopper. We had a full few days of filming with the chopper, so yeah, there was all sorts of stuff going on.
When you look behind the scenes of movie magic, craft services, all the things you get to have, what was the one thing you thought, hey, this is pretty cool, I never knew this about being a part of a huge Hollywood film like this?
Obviously they can do a lot, you know, once they get the footage, they can kind of, like, they've figured out how to take about 50 pounds off me, so that's pretty impressive. But no, I mean, you know, it's a pretty cool experience. It's a huge operation. It was just fun to be a part of. See something different, see how a totally different industry runs and operates. It was just cool to be a part of.
Well, Rome, you had quite the experience with your first season of SailGP, with racing all around the world, sometimes in front, sometimes behind, and then the pandemic came. What has SailGP done to kind of regroup and make something happen out of this during this time?
Well, our season, obviously, we started our season in Sydney, and our squad, obviously, coming off season one, having a pretty disappointing season. We came out guns blazing in Sydney, and we're pretty happy with where we were. Still had a lot to sharpen up on and get better at, but we were in a good place, and the team was, you know, gelling and moving forward. And we were pretty fired up with the new season, and you know, we just got home from Sydney, and obviously this pandemic kicked off, and that was the end of our season. So we'll be picking back up in San Francisco in March of 2021.
Speaking of San Francisco, and SailGP was out here, we really got to see how these watercraft are really like Formula One race cars. And the thing that struck me as a sailing neophyte is getting up on the foils and becoming almost airborne. Is that something that is sort of universally acknowledged, like that's the way to go, to get up on the foil and race above the surface? Or are there sort of more stodgy types who say, that's not sailing, what the hell is that?
Yeah, obviously, that's a big debate, especially now that foiling is in the America's Cup, and it's kind of really, you know, you're seeing a lot more kids and youth sailing foiling boats, less traditional, if that makes sense. Yeah, there's definitely kind of the old school way of thinking, and it's definitely, there's a lot of people that probably want to see sailing go back to just monohulls and displacement sailing, but at the same time, you know, these high speed boats, it's still racing. I mean, the tactics, it's all still there. The fundamentals of sailing are still there. Everything you learn in an Opti is, you know, just 50 times, it's 50x on the F50. It's, you're going faster, you're making split second decisions, the boats are within inches of each other, and you know, you make a mistake and it's catastrophic. So it's still racing, you know, you're just firing at a different speed. And yeah, it's just, there's plenty of critics, but I think, you know, it's really a lot of youth sailors are grabbing hold of the foiling and the high speed apparent wind sailing. So that's good to see, is, you know, younger kids and people excited about the sport. That's really what's important.
Rome, we have some fantastic photographs that are action shots of you and the team on our website at sailsporttalk.com for our listeners to listen to. And there's one photograph where the USA boat is just on its side. Is it about to collapse right in there in that photograph? Or was that an almost capsize or just a really sharp turn?
To be honest, I have no idea. I don't know what picture. I haven't looked at it. I don't know. I don't know if it's from San Francisco. I mean, we did capsize in Cowes.
I think this might be
pushing pretty hard. So
yeah, this looks like it might be in Cowes, and we had the capsize. So how do you recover the boat when it capsizes like that?
Unfortunately, we've had a lot of experience, or you know, our team has, whether it's been past America's Cups, but capsizing is not really, you know, it's not rare, especially in these boats when you're pushing that hard against a fleet that's highly competitive. It's, you know, these boats are pretty fragile, so when you do capsize them, usually you do break some stuff in the wings, but for the most part, you can get back up and go racing. All you got to do is get it on a bow tow and get it back into the wind, and everyone's pretty efficient getting the boats back upright and getting back out racing.
Rome, before we go to a break here, tell us a little bit more about, I mentioned, the All In Challenge charity fundraiser.
Yeah, so when the All In Challenge kind of came about, we were asked if we'd be interested in doing it. And Fanatics.com, we had to kind of submit all our content to them, and it went through those guys. And yeah, we offered a ride on the F50. I think it's a full weekend kind of race experience with our team, either in San Francisco or New York City. Yeah, and we had a lucky winner, and I think we raised about $33,000.
How does something like that get distributed out? I mean, do you have a 501c3 that handles all that? I've always been curious.
No, this actually had nothing to do with us. If you guys go on fanatics.com, they handle everything. It had nothing to do with us. We just offer the experience. So we don't actually see the money. It goes to charity, if that makes sense.
Okay. Karen, what we're going to do is take a little break, and then we come back. Our friend Christopher Kane, who Rome knows, he'll be in studio, and will ask us some questions. As Karen said, there are photos and videos on sailsporttalk.com. That is the website that does all the Yeah, I know. I have another minute. That is the website that does sponsor this segment. Before we go to the break, Karen, just you personally, we have about 45 seconds here. Have you been on the bay in the last week?
I definitely was. I was out there on Saturday in the very brief window where we had 6 hours of little smoke on the water. And it was good. It was a good sail out to Angel Island and up Raccoon Strait and back. And it just, you know, got to be on the water. That's just one of those things. I also wanted to mention that the trailer for the Tenet movie that shows all of the action with the F-50s that Rome and Tom Slingsby were involved in for the movie is, if you go to Rome Kirby's bio page on the top of our site and click on the photograph or the link there, you're going to get into that whole section with the photographs and with the trailer to the movie, which is really cool. It's pretty awesome.
All right. Very good. Smoke on the Water, Deep Purple. Come on back, littlesailsporttalk.com on Sports Byline.
This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk. Let me share with you a conversation with Wendy Tuck, who was the first female skipper to win the Clipper Round the World race. You will remember Wendy as captain of the Maiden last year. I interviewed her on the boat while it was underway in the San Francisco Bay. It is great to hear what Wendy is doing now in Australia during the pandemic.
It's a beautiful day. It's the first day of spring and it's marvelous. It's lovely.
That's wonderful. I love to hear about it. Tell me, you're now signed up and involved in another race. Well, tell me about this race.
Yeah, we've just got to try and find some sponsorship and some funding. So we're planning on doing the Sydney Hobart race, which I've done 13 already. But this year's the first time they're going to have a two-handed division, so just two people sailing on the boat. So I've signed up with a friend of mine. His dad's letting us use his boat, but we've just got to... It's never been sailed offshore before, so we've got to spend a fair bit of money getting the boat ready to go, you know, tackle one of the hardest races there is on the planet. So, but, you know, that's what we're working on at the moment. So we're pretty excited. It's all very new for both of us, but we're very excited.
Oh, I think it's great, the two-handed division.
Yeah. Well, there's so much interest in two-handed sailing now. Like, it's been big in France for, you know, years and years and years. But now that it's going to be a division in the 2024 Olympics, that's why there's so much interest in it now. And a lot of clubs are introducing it into their normal races so people can start training and start contending for those valuable positions to represent your country.
Right. Well, now, what boat are you going to be taking?
Yeah, at the moment, we've got a Beneteau 34.7, so about the right size. We had been offered a 50-footer we could use. We just thought, for our first two-handed race, we don't want to go, you know, in something so big that if we get into trouble, it'll be hard to get out of trouble. So it's a 34-footer, but eventually what we'd like to do is get one of the boats that's in the contention. There's a whole lot of boats that are... can become the Olympic class, but they haven't announced it yet. So we wouldn't mind trying to get one of those, a little Sunfast 330s. Because there's probably about eight boats that are sort of in line to be the Olympic class, and they're not going to announce it till probably about a year out from the Olympics. So people are just getting, you know, boats that are possibly going to be the boat and start racing them, and that's what we want to try and do eventually.
So what is the yacht club that will be sponsoring you for the race?
The yacht club that runs the race is the Cruising Yacht Club of Australia, the CYCA. Mm-hmm. So that's the club that's run the yacht race for the 76th year. And it's an important year for the race this year because it's the 75th anniversary of women participating in the race, which is quite cool.
If people wanted to sponsor or help you out in any way, how would they do that? How would they contact you?
We're still working on it, but we do have a website up. It's just wendytuck.com.au.
Check out SailSportTalk.com website for more information about Wendy Tuck and a link to her current adventures.
A Thank you for that. Welcome back to the show, sportsbyline.com, rolling with Titillating Sports. I'm your host, Rick Tittle, and we are in a second segment here on a Tuesday morning, as we usually are in the first hour with salesporttalk.com. I'm with co-host Karen Lyle, and we also still have Rome Kirby, accomplished sailor, on the line. Joining us now is our friend Christopher Kane, who is actually in our studios on Broadway in San Francisco. And Chris and Karen, I'll let you take it away. Chris, you know Rome, so go ahead.
How's it going, Rome?
Good. How are you?
Good. Yeah. Last time I saw you, I was holding on for dear life on the 72. So I love that Rick brought up the Formula One, because my son, when he saw the boats, thought the same thing. And I'd love to dig into some of these photos more. I know you haven't seen them, so I'll describe them to you. And for our listeners, those are on salesporttalk.com, and just click on the link for today's program, and you'll see a link to all these photographs. And one of them, Rome, is a up-close picture of the wheel with all these buttons and knobs on them. Explain that to us.
So, yeah, our wheels basically we've got twist grips on the top of the wheel that control the board rakes fore and aft. And then we have basically right in the hub, we have a bunch of switches and dials that control the rate of speed with your twist grip. It's called the gain rate. You've got rudder differential. So you have a lot of different buttons that control board rake, speed of the rake, and also you've got rudder controls. And then we have foot pedals that control boards up and down, adding rudder lift, taking it off, all sorts of stuff as well in the cockpit.
And it sounds very much like a Formula One wheel. If anyone has seen a Formula One wheel, there's about 40 buttons on it. And they can adjust all sorts of things around the car in real time. And I guess my question for you, when you're thinking about board rake, what's the... You know, for me, it was only sailed monohulls. I've never raced a multi-hull. What's the feedback for you as a sailor? What is the input you're using? Are you feeling it in the boat? Are you looking at certain numbers? How do you know when there needs to be an adjustment on the boat?
A lot of it's feel. Most of the time it's feel, but you also have numbers to validate your feeling, if that makes sense. So we're always constantly adjusting board rake, rudders, you know, wing twist, wing camber, you name it. We've got a lot of controls on the boat that make big differences. And when you're changing gears, you need to kind of be on top of it from, you know, when the sailing pressure and boat speed will increase anywhere from, depending on if you're going upwind or downwind. But the boat speed increases so much, you'll usually have to change your board rake a lot. And your rudders, and from upwind to downwind. So yeah, there's a lot going on, and it's a lot of feel, but we do have a lot of numbers to validate that feel and kind of use as a reference as well.
Go ahead, Karen.
Well, when you also have feedback from the other team's statistics after the race, what is that? How does that inform your experience when you're out there on the water and you've evaluated this experience of looking at what the other teams are doing?
It's pretty big. Obviously each team does things a bit differently and utilizes that info differently. We have a data analysis guy. We have Phil Crane on our team that's in constant comms with our coach. So he and Joe Glanfield will be talking while Joe's on. Well, basically, we're sailing. For example, in Sydney, we were training with the British, and a few times they were sailing, they were kind of flying a little higher, pushing ride height, and it was translating into a bit more boat speed. And then we were doing a couple different things with our wing, and Phil was able to kind of relay that after a couple runs. So we made some changes, and immediately we're, you know, back on pace. And it's pretty beneficial. It's nice for the teams that are new. It gets them up to speed quickly, so it just makes, you know, the racing really competitive all the time. So it's pretty good.
Now, speaking of training and getting up to speed, I think in this photo album, and again, it's on salesporttalk.com. In this photo album, the most fascinating picture to me is there was a picture of a flight simulator for training on these boats. That's the first time I've seen that. So have you been on this contraption?
Yep. Yeah. I think every team's used a simulator. It's pretty good, but it's not quite the real thing. Obviously, if we were allowed to go sail every single day and we had the budget to, we probably would. But that's just not the case. So you try and, you know, unfortunately the simulator's in the UK. So when you go do a session over there, you've got to be pretty objective. And, you know, the 2 or 3 days you do spend in the simulator, you've got to just kind of tick off what you can tick off. And then, obviously, you know, if we could sail every day, we definitely would, but that's just not the case.
Is that with the whole crew? Is it just with you and the trimmers? How many people are in that situation?
Yeah, it's only three guys. So unfortunately you don't have your whole squad there. It's the flight controller, the wing trimmer, and the helmsman.
Very cool. Now, speaking of your crew, you know, you mentioned that you guys are firing up again in 2021 in San Francisco. And speaking of San Francisco, one of the complaints I heard from non-sailors when the America's Cup was in San Francisco was, how can it be an American boat when there's almost no Americans on it? And next year, you're going to have a full American team.
Yep.
How did that happen? Well, did you set out to do that, or was it just a happy landing spot for the team?
No, I mean, obviously, each team within CLGP has got to be national. You're only allowed one non-national unless it's a new team. So, you know, we started from day one all American, and obviously, you know, as an American, you know, group, we're definitely, relative to say the Australians and the Kiwis, we're a little bit more on the back foot, and because as a whole, the U.S. doesn't have tons of foiling experience. So hopefully our group, you know, bridges that gap a bit, and you know, we get more young guys coming up that are apparent wind and foiling sailors, and you know, get them sailing at a high level.
Well, you're a moth sailor, and that's a class that has gone to foiling. And are you guys looking at sort of, you know, the people coming up on those and trying to create a squad? Because it looks like at least for the intermediate term, foiling is going to be it for CLGP and the America's Cup now. So, you know, are you guys looking down at the smaller classes, starting to identify people who are foiling ninjas?
Yeah. That's the goal. You're always looking for the next guys coming up. And, you know, the moth, even, you know, some of the Olympic classes, just identifying those young guys that are coming through the ranks and also women as well. There's some really good women sailors in the NACRA class that are coming up, and you know, it's definitely, you know, to bridge that gap, though, to go from either a moth straight to the F-50, you know, it's takes time, so doesn't happen overnight, but the more guys that are out there doing it, the better.
More questions for Rome Kirby. Go ahead, Karen.
Oh, well, Rick, this is Sailsport Talk on Sports Byline, and it's always a pleasure to be co-hosting with you and to have Christopher Kane here in the studio and to be talking to Rome Kirby. Rome, you were the first one to sign our Sailor's Wall in the Sports Byline building. Now, that wall, when you and Mac Ignacy were there and you signed the wall that had 30 years of other sports celebrities and not sailing on it, it was empty, and now that wall is completely full. I just wanted you to know that.
Oh, no way.
And it's full of sailors. So, you know, all people that you know, of course, Tom Slingsby and Malcolm Page there are a lot of sailing celebrities who've been there. But right now during this pandemic, we're not doing a lot of signing at the moment. But anyway, yeah. You were one of the first, you were the very first one, the first sailor on that wall. So,
awesome.
Yeah. I thank you for that. How is Mac Ignacy there? Is he still with the team? And
Mac is actually down in New Zealand with American Magic competing in the America's Cup. So he did the first season with us, and then he and Dan Morris signed on with American Magic and are with those guys. So I'm psyched for them. And they're down in New Zealand and hopefully going to make a decent run at the Cup.
Oh, that's great. Well, I, he's with Terry Hutchinson then, and we just got a chance to talk to Sean O'Halloran from New Zealand a couple of weeks ago. So they're all out there on the water, which is pretty good. So Christopher, to you for your next question.
Yeah, I know we're coming up on the end here, and I just want to make sure we get this in. Rome, if folks want to follow you and SailGP, where can they find you guys out on the web?
Obviously sailgp.com and sailgpusa, you know, on Instagram and Facebook, it's sailgpusa and sailgp. It's, and then obviously I'm just Rome Kirby. So pretty straightforward, pretty easy, but yeah, check it out. You'll be able to check us out in theaters on Thursday in Tenet. So
that is awesome.
Oh, that's good. That's going to be exciting. I understand that they've masked the boat so that they don't have the USA symbol and all the, you know, they've changed the look of it because this is a sci-fi thriller. So
yeah,
you guys are the men behind the scenes, as it were, but not necessarily recognized.
Yeah, we're totally behind the scenes, but the F-50s are there, front and center.
No question. They're even in the trailer that's for the public. I noticed there's a little glimpse, and it's quite exciting. I'm thrilled for you and for SailGP on all of this. Just one more question about the simulator. I understand that that's for bringing in, you know, our testing or new crew, potential crew people. Have you used that for your team for making selections, or do you pretty much know who you're working with?
I wouldn't say we necessarily just use the simulator for selections. The simulators, you know, usually we have a pretty good idea who we're going to go with. And, sometimes a simulator can validate that. But yeah, we don't go all the way to the UK if you're not sure about someone. This simulator is a good tool, but it's not the end all be all. Obviously getting on the boat is what's important, and time on the water is important.
All right, Rome Kirby, thanks for your time. Thanks for stopping by, game. We really appreciate it.
Thanks guys. Thanks for having me.
Good having you.
We just have about a minute. Christopher, you want to tell us your latest jaunt on the bay? When was that?
Oh, it's been a while. Karen has actually offered a couple times, and unfortunately for various reasons, I have not been able to join her, but I absolutely will the next time the offer comes out. It's, you know, for people who grew up on the bay, it's kind of weird to explain. When I went out on the 72, my wife is like, is that okay? Are you safe? Are you fine? I'm like, it's hard to explain, but if you grew up sailing, being on a boat is like being home. And it's just, I definitely miss going out. But Karen, to her credit, has offered twice.
All right, great stuff. Christopher, thanks for stopping by again. And Karen, as always, thanks for the guests, and we'll do it next week.
Thanks,
Thank you. Good to see you, Rick.